I don't have any objection to withdrawal. We had an agreement that he was going to file an answer on behalf of his client. I don't know what the status of that is, but other than that, I have no objection to withdrawal.
Judge, I have not yet accepted service on behalf of my clients. I don't yet have instructions on that, and I'm unable to do so. I will tell Mr. Rose that I will work with him after my withdrawal to get him in touch with my clients so that they can presumably accept service.
They live in Highland Park, Illinois, do they?
Yes, one lives in, Highland Park, Illinois, both. Yes, sir.
Judge, if I may approach, here's the order, and I've actually highlighted the portion. We had a hearing, and at that hearing, Your Honor advised Mr. Rose to go ahead and file an amendment with respect to the trust construction case. And then in paragraph 2 of your order, you say that Elliot Bernstein and the other defendants shall serve a response to count 2 within 10 days. Again, that's I echo Mr. Rose.
That's assuming they got served. Right.
I need to serve them if they don't waive service. I just was raising because I didn't know what the status of it was. Okay. Mr. Glasgow's rant.
All right, understanding that
I won't hold him to that agreement.
Okay, all right, that's the key. All right, okay.
Mr. Rose, I'll tell you, it's just in open court, I'll tell you that it's my belief that they will accept service just in order to save the money for the estate.
That's fine.
You'll accept their acceptance, I will put you in that position to be able to receive that.
And I can contact them.
Yes, sir.
I can contact
them. I apologize for the confusion.
I can contact them directly once you sign the order. We'll take care of you to get into the waive service or to get them served. Thank you.
Keep me in the loop, Alan.
Certainly.
Your Honor?
Yes, sir.
It's my fault.
Okay, what?
I don't see Mr. O'Connell on the certificate of service.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I'll have to read that. I apologize.
And what I'd like you to do, now that I've read it, is
yes, sir.
Have you spoke to him about the motion as well?
Yes, sir.
And what's his position? I mean, all right, don't tell me, but.
Yeah.
This is your back. Okay, all right, so you can reset the that motion.
I apologize to other counsel.
That leaves Ben Brown's petition. Okay, now that we have a PR, anyone have an opposition to him getting off?
No.
No.
We don't have the opposition to him getting off the job and substituting Brian O'Connell into the role that Mr. Brown had. We do have our objection is to the altering who's financing the litigation, because your order that appointed Mr. Brown specifically required Mr. Stansberry to pay for the expense.
Yeah, but that motion I'm not hearing.
Okay, that's our only.
That's pending. I'll hear that with Mr. O'Connell.
So there'll be in the gap period, I guess. Are we going to substitute Mr. O'Connell for that role, or are you going to decide that at another hearing?
Well, Stanberry is still on until I get him off.
Okay.
Okay, dealing with the Illinois litigation. That's what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Yes, he's still on until he's off.
Okay.
So they come in next week on that.
But what Mr. Rose may be saying is, Your Honor appointed specifically Ben Brown, not only as curator, but as an administrator ad litem with respect to the Chicago litigation.
Right.
So if Your Honor discharges Mr. Brown today, is he being discharged solely as curator or also as administrator ad litem?
How are you moving for discharge?
I've already been discharged as curator.
Yeah.
I'm moving to be discharged as administrator ad litem because I view my role as superfluous. A competent Chicago counsel.
Hey, well, why don't you do this? Leave me the order, okay? I'm going to deal with, when I deal with Stanberry's motion, what I wind up doing is, as a result of that hearing, more formally make Mr. O'Connell the person in charge of what Mr. Brown was, then I'll sign the order. So then we won't have a gap. So technically, there's just, should something get served the next week or two before we can hear that, you're up.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Great. Thank you,
Your Honor.
That makes sense. Let me get a note on this. All is not lost, Your Honor. My office called Mr. O'Connell's office, and they
said as of 6 o'clock last night, he was intending to attend this hearing.
Okay, so then, why don't you call his office and see if he's on the way or not?
Yeah. Do you have a choice number?
Do you have a cell phone?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Apparently he'll be here in 5 minutes, Your Honor.
Okay, fine, no problem. So while we're waiting, let me ask you, do you know anything about, Mr. Elliott, did you give Mr. Rose a copy of the notice?
He wasn't in here at that moment.
All right, so Elliott wants to be in this action, which is...
The trust construction.
...698 case. He wants to be able to file this.
But what is it?
It's a notice of those pendants.
Have you heard on this, or?
Yeah, I mean, if I have 5 minutes, I mean, yeah, I don't know anything about the case, so or what's going on, but rather than me start searching the records, you can tell me what your position is on this notice being filed.
He wants to file a notice of Liz Pendens against the house that the decedent owned.
Okay, that's the Lion's Head property?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's no basis.
Is that owned by the trust?
It's owned by the Shirley Bernstein Trust, which is...
Who's the titled owner? You'll know. Who's the titled owner to the property described in subparagraph D?
We don't know because they won't give us any records on it, but it's the Shirley Bernstein Trust is who they've said owned it all along.
So this is part of the Shirley Bernstein Trust.
Okay.
There's no claim...
Shirley Bernstein Trust, the title owner of the property, so how can you file a notice of Liz Pendens under the rules that govern that on Shirley Bernstein's property?
Well, because we have a counter complaint where we're suing the trust.
Suing Shirley's trust?
Yes.
In this, under this case number?
Yes, sir. You've stated it, but...
What?
You've stated it.
I understand that.
Oh, okay. That's why I'm asking your approval.
Well, first of all, I don't know when it says he first started the lawsuit, August 12, 2014. Shirley died in December 2010.
This is when he filed the lawsuit that then responded my...
I brought a trust construction action to construe the terms of the trust.
Of
Shirley's trust, that's all.
All right, and then
we're trying to sell... This is like...
Answered, and there's a counterclaim in that case?
That's the one, the counterclaim, the 7 pages, the style we looked at. There's...
Right.
A lot of people, but he doesn't have a claim
in that lawsuit
that would give him right to title to the property or affect title to the property. And he's trying to interfere with the trustee's ability to sell the property. We've been trying to, the property's been on the market, I think, since before Simon died. It's listed with a professional brokerage firm that's active in that community. It's the St. Andrews Country Club community in West Boca. It's listed for sale. The goal is to sell it. It needs to be sold. And all this would do is make it impossible to sell the house. And I'd say no purpose.
So this is, you're trying to sell it in the ordinary course of the trust administration while we do this construction case? Is that it?
Correct. We're trying to liquidate the asset. It's an asset that would need to be liquidated as part of the administration of the trust.
And but the lawsuit is about construction of the trust. Some clauses in there you're talking about?
The entirety of our lawsuit, the way the language is drafted, Simon Bernstein had a power of appointment.
Okay.
He exercised his power of appointment. The lawsuit is to determine whether his power of appointment exercising was valid and who it goes to under the terms of the trust. There's some dispute whether it goes to 6 of the 10 grandchildren or whether it goes to 10 of the 10 grandchildren. None of it ever goes to Elliot Bernstein, and if it did, there's still no basis to have a notice of Liz pendants filed that's going to completely tie up the title of the property, make it unsaleable. There's a fairly large carrying cost to having a house in a country club community.
Okay. All right. So if the lawsuit isn't about the property itself.
It is partially. Meaning we're saying they have no right to be selling this property. First of all, they don't know who the beneficiaries are that they're selling this property and who's approving that.
So the proceeds are being held in trust.
Okay. Pending. Well, we also have problems that we're claiming that trust isn't legitimate and isn't Ted Bernstein. It wasn't originally put as the trustee. So we have a big problem. They're hiding the original trust documents as well. So we don't want any assets.
The trust owns the property.
Here, we have the same problem with the condominium they sold. Right now, they're signing things that say they're going to give the money back if it's decided. And so we're going to go through all this stuff where they try these distributions again and distribute to the wrong parties so that we now have this mess with the condominium that was sold. And boy, there's a rat's nest of problems there.
I'll look at it. I'll let you know if you can file it.
Okay, can we stop them from selling the house prior to...
No, I'm not doing anything about that. I just got this today now. I'm not even sure it's proper. List pendants notices are not something you can just file sometimes. You have to get permission to file it, even if there was no stay on it. I have to look at your original action and see whether it's a...
Okay.
...qualifies for that. So I have to take a look at it. I just got it this morning. I'll look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get a break.
Okay, thank you.
If your honor is going to consider
it. If I consider it to be filed, I'll bring you both back in.
That's what I want. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Okay. I see Mr. O'Connell here. Have you had a chance to look at the curator's motion? And Mr. Brown, where did he go?
Right here.
He also wants to be relieved of responsibility to act as administrator of life in the Chicago lawsuit.
Yes, sir.
So what's your position on both of those?
Well, as to the latter one, I think it just makes sense as a PR that I would take over the responsibility of the administrator ad litem for the lawsuit.
Okay.
So I think that's
all right. That's okay. All right.
That's
easy. Because everyone agrees with that. Go ahead.
Then on the other motion, if you have the, and that's on the motion, just to make sure, Your Honor, with regard to Mr. Thaman's motion.
Yes.
Okay. What I've done, which I thought was sort of common sense, was I called Mr. Stamos. He's the attorney that's handling the litigation up in Chicago.
Right.
And I asked him this question. Would he handle it on a contingency basis so that there wouldn't be the fee issues that obviously exist and the concerns that exist? And he said he would handle it on a contingency basis. Be a third if it's resolved before a trial, 40%. If it's a result of a trial, and then if there's an appeal, there would have to be a discussion of what would apply to that.
Okay, but what's the issue up there now? I'm reading in the motion that there's a realistic expectation that the estate is going to become the beneficiary of this policy because no one can find the so-called insurance trust. Is that the status?
That's the dispute, and of course, I couldn't begin to argue the merits of it and say, yes, it has
so
to
Heritage
do
Heritage Union owes someone or entity purportedly the benefits of the insurance policy.
Right.
They're holding the money hostage, saying we don't know who to give it to.
They interpleaded.
The federal court's holding it.
Yes.
Okay. They interpleaded the money. Okay. And so the federal who's disputing?
There's a chart, Your Honor, that is I gave you that sets forth who the plaintiffs are in the Chicago litigation action. It's things up, Brian.
Okay, I see it at the end.
If you look at that chart, and then there's...
Page one or page two?
Page two, it's entitled the Chicago litigation at the top. And it shows that the plaintiffs, including Ted Bernstein, want the money to go to the adult children. However, if the state prevails, they'll end up going to the 10 grandchildren after payment of the creditors. Because the estate makes the beneficiary the trust, and the trust, which is the second chart there, the trust has the 10 grandchildren as its beneficiaries. So it's really the adult children versus the grandchildren.
And some of the grandchildren are children of the adult children?
Yes.
So a third or 40% of the insurance, which is a significant amount of money, is going to be absorbed going to a lawyer because these family members can't agree upon what should happen with the $1.7 million, and they have to have a lawyer take 40% of it? Is that what I'm hearing?
You're close, but you're off by a little bit. The person that's been advocating this from the beginning is Mr. Stansberry, because he's a potential claimant of the estate. So he's the one who wanted to, he's the one who wanted the estate to pursue this claim solely to bring money.
Excuse me, just state for the record who you're representing.
First of all, stop. You don't talk, you speak to me, not
yes,
to him.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so, you know, that's the rule, okay?
Yes, Your Honor.
Don't jump up and do that. That's improper.
Yes, Your Honor, but he
no,
may be...
No, there's no but on that. If you want to address, you address me through an objection, but you don't attack another lawyer in court.
Okay, I object to Mr. Rose participating in this hearing on the grounds that...
I'm not really conducting the hearing. I'm trying to just figure
Thank
out
you.
what the... I'm not ruling on anything yet, because nothing substantive is going to be ruled on. I'm just trying to understand what's going on.
Well, Your Honor, I'm a little confused because Mr. Rose is representing Ted on the trustee side, but the question is he representing the trustee of the missing trust, which Ted claims to be a trustee of the missing trust?
Everyone quiet for a second. So let me ask Mr. O'Connell. Okay, so there's a life insurance policy. It says what it says about who the beneficiary is, correct?
Right, which is a trust.
It says...
No.
If I read this right...
That's not correct.
Death benefit on the, you know, on the application, it says beneficiary of the policy. What's named there?
Excuse me, Your Honor. There is no policy. It's missing right now, and it's part of the contention in the case. There has been no policy put forth by the insurance company or any party that made the lawsuit.
So yep. So Heritage put $1.7 million on the court even though they didn't write a policy?
Because it was hot potato. That's right.
May I speak?
Okay, well, just ask me that issue.
I will. There's a policy. There's one beneficiary that's been dead. There were two beneficiaries designated under the policy. One was something to do with a company that's no longer in existence. The default beneficiary, the only beneficiary that's ever been named by Simon, is this irrevocable life insurance trust. The only dispute that's going on in Illinois is...
Okay, so let me slow down. So are you aware, Mr. O'Connell, I mean, is there a life insurance policy?
Yeah.
Do you have a copy of the policy?
Hey,
Elliot.
Well, sorry, I apologize.
I'm going to throw everyone out of the courtroom who violates the rule next. Okay, this is not free for all. Mr. Brown, you've been administrator, is there a life insurance policy?
I believe there is a life insurance policy.
Okay.
Now, whether or not the documentation is not, like everything in this case, it's not the way you might expect it to be.
Well, I mean, if there's either a life insurance
there's a policy, or they interpleaded $1.7 million with the federal court.
All right. Has anyone seen the policy?
I have seen papers that appear to be a policy to me.
A sample policy.
Hold on, Mr. Bernstein.
Okay, sample.
Okay. Mr. Paul, have you seen the policy?
I've seen copies.
That copy of what appears to be a policy.
That's what I've seen. Right. That's what Mr. Brown thinks. I've got it from him.
And so, is the named beneficiary the Simon Bernstein irrevocable insurance trust?
No, on the policy.
Mr. Bernstein, stop. Mr. O'Connell.
Yes, that's the.
Okay, now I'm going to ask only, is that the name of the beneficiary?
I don't know if you got it exactly right, but it is.
I'm just reading it off.
Yeah.
Mr. Stansbury's motion.
It is an irrevocable life insurance, the Simon Bernstein irrevocable life insurance trust, something about like 1995.
Of course it would be that, okay.
Correct.
All right, so.
Can I?
Okay, who's the beneficiary that you?
On the policy they're referring to that they've seen.
Yeah.
The name Sample, because it's a sample policy. That's who the beneficiary is designated on it.
Beneficiary's called Sample?
Yes, and the death benefit's called Sample.
There is no, so, but why would then?
It's a missing insurance policy. Nobody has seen a fully executed life insurance policy. The insurance company sent a sample that they sent to the states to get the policy approved and said, this is, this.
Is it filled out?
No, sample.
So a sample of a blank policy?
The beneficiary is Sample.
That has no, I mean, statement, is that correct?
I don't know. The bottom line is there's $1.7 million that's either going to go to this estate that Your Honor has jurisdiction over.
So no one really, at this point, no one's contesting.
Or some insurance trust document that doesn't exist.
Okay, everyone's happy that the insurance policy is posted, and the insurance company has posted $1.7.
That's the bottom line, is that the insurance company has given up $1.7 million.
All right, so stop. Ellie, you're shaking your head that you're not happy that the insurance company.
Correct.
You don't want to be able to take the money back?
No, I think there's more money that.
Who cares?
Well, we need to see if there was $4 million. It was just brought up by the.
$4 million, I'm not asking.
Well, it was brought up at the Illinois hearing when there was no policy, that the policy could be much larger number. So we don't know.
There's $1.7 million.
Sitting, yes.
Okay, so there in Illinois, in the lawsuit, based upon who's appeared, it's the children versus the grandchildren. Is that the lawsuit?
No, the bottom, if I may say, the bottom, when you boil everything down, that's correct, because the insurance trust is the plaintiff, along with the individual adult children, except for Elliot.
I hear that no one can show that there's such an entity as the insurance trust.
That is correct.
That's not exactly true. I mean, there is a beneficiary designation form. It doesn't say Sample. There is a form signed by Simon Bernstein that names two beneficiaries, an initial one and a contingent one. The initial one has lapsed. The contingent one is exactly the name of this life insurance trust.
No, that's incorrect. Whoa.
It exists, and there's affidavits been filed by people on behalf of the insurance company. I'm not involved in litigation, and that's not my point. But yeah, there is a policy, there is money, and there is only one beneficiary that's ever been named by Simon Bernstein.
So one result of the case up there is the court could enter an order saying distribute the 1.7 or whatever other monies is appropriate to the Simon Bernstein irrevocable insurance trust. Okay?
Correct.
And then
so they
check would get written to that entity.
If the plaintiffs prevail.
Okay.
But they have to establish a lost document, because there is no such document that can be located.
Insurance trust.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, so they have to establish that.
And so is that what the issue is? So if they can't establish the existence of that insurance trust, then is it conceded that it goes to the estate?
No.
That's our position. That's Mr. Stamos's position up in Chicago,
What do you say if they can't establish that there's an insurance trust that exists?
I don't know, and I'm not in that case. My only concern is really what Your Honor raised earlier, which is the expense.
Yeah, I mean, so you all represent all the players in this thing. It just seemed to me that there might be a better way of finishing this off than having 40% of the money go to a lawyer, up there.
Well, that's what I wanted to point out to the court, Your Honors. The reason we can't come together, and I mean we, meaning the clients and their respective counsel, is that Ted Bernstein is individually a plaintiff in that Chicago action, opposing the state's interest. At the same time, Mr. Ted Bernstein is the trustee of the Simon Bernstein Revocable Trust says all of the money goes to the grandchildren.
Okay, here's a thought.
So there's an inherent conflict there, Your Honor.
Okay, listen to this. So tell me if this doesn't make sense. I don't know anything about the merits of the Illinois litigation. I'm not going to comment on this. But if you all can physically get the proceeds out of the court in Illinois and then end that case up there, have it on deposit here, for example, put it in the state account to be held, not dispersed, can't we down here then decide these issues about who's entitled to that money?
Yes.
Out then, 40% of the corpus of that going to Mr. Stamos, who we don't know.
Well, those would be damages.
Personal representatives should have done that. They had papers prepared to do that, and somehow were overruled by somebody not to do that. That was Tesher and Spleena, who have since withdrawn for all the reasons I think you're aware of, Your Honor, in this case.
And Your Honor, part of the problem is that I am going to be suing them for the damages of these lawyers, and Mr. Tesher or Mr. Spleena filed the insurance claim acting as the trustee of the lost trust that Ted then claims to file the lawsuit on behalf of.
Elliot, you can file whatever suit you want.
Well, I have one. That's what I'm saying.
But I'm not talking about that.
Right. I don't care about the cost of the lawyer because it's going to come to the losing party, I believe. So.
No. Well, then if you don't care, I care.
Well, I'm saying if the.
I don't understand why you would say that.
Because I believe that if the estate expends money to get this insurance policy and it was wrongfully tried to be stolen out the back door by people, that the legal cost will be damages.
You have to give up the money, though. That's crazy.
Well, I agree, but you have to give up the money to get the money back.
You don't make any sense. Okay, that last round of statements made no sense. Stop, I don't want to talk to you anymore about this.
The estate only pays money if it prevails.
Well, I understand that,
Your Honor.
But I assume, though, that representing the plaintiffs, someone is paying them up there to litigate that case. And so, can't we remove the money, not the case, from there? Because everybody who's fighting over the money there is here in Palm Beach County, true?
No.
No, who's not?
Well, some of the...
Or they're involved in litigation here.
They might be lawyers here. There's a case that's in federal court that's been pending for a significant amount of time. The federal judge is going to decide between whether the islet is the beneficiary or not, and then if it's not the islet, who would be the beneficiary of those proceeds. Your Honor raised a very good point, which is among the family members, whether it goes to one or the other, that could all be resolved. What's happening here, and what we had a whole argument in a hearing on, and you have an order you've entered, is that Mr. Stansberry wants the money to come into the estate, because if it doesn't come into the estate, he doesn't get a whack at it. It passes outside of probate. That's all fine. That's why you let Mr. Stansberry, at his motion, agree to fund this. The deal was, he started the lawsuit, and the deal, Your Honor said, was he would have to fund the expenses of litigation, because the only person that
he didn't start the lawsuit
benefits from this is Mr. Stansberry. But at the end of the day, if he wins, then Mr. Stansberry will get paid back his whatever expenses he had.
That's not the law.
Well,
don't interrupt.
And this is like the it's not very fair to me today that I think.
Stop that. Okay, have a seat. Relax.
Our concern, we had a situation in place that protected everyone's interests, okay? It protected Mr. Stansberry because there was a lawyer in Illinois under the direction of Mr. Brown that was going to pursue the claim. If that lawyer succeeds, then...
Stamos is representing the estate. Still is.
Right. And it was a very fair situation. It balanced the interest of everyone. Because the last thing the grandchildren want to do, and I represent Ted Bernstein, he's the successor trustee of the Simon Bernstein Trust, which is the sole beneficiary of this estate. And then Ted's mission as trustee, when he gets funds and after everything's resolved, he distributes the money to the 10 grandchildren, is we don't want to see 40, if the money would come into the estate, see 40% of it go there. And bigger concern is, and the reason the prior PRs didn't pursue this is, all of the parole evidence favors the position of there being an island. There's a tax ID number, there's documents. Mr. Simon Bernstein made additional documents years later that referenced these, but ended up leaving this in place. He had discussions with his lawyers. So the prior lawyers did what they thought was best, and we allowed Mr. Stansberry, because he wanted to pursue this claim, along with Elliot, who's individually pursuing a claim, and the compromise was that he had to pay for it. He'll get paid back at the end of the day. We had a whole big fight about a PR, and, you know, Mr. O'Connell...
All right, stop cutting off.
Your Honor.
Okay.
If you folks want to put some thought into a way to save some money, try to do it, but I'm not going to, but I'm done for today. Okay. It's not set. The thing I want to do is rule on the petition for discharge of Mr. Brown. No one objects, and you're going to appear, Mr. O'Connell?
Yes, we'll substitute up there.
All right, and then, so then that leaves, though, the motion of Mr. Stansberry. Did you see his motion?
Yes.
What's your position on his motion?
That's what I was trying. I guess I was overly optimistic, Your Honor, that I solved the problem, because I understood the concern like Mr. Rose has raised on the cost of the litigation, the original deal, and so forth. And that's why I was trying to basically put it on to the lawyer, Mr. Stamos, who was willing to do it on a contingency basis. So that's, I guess, my solution to,
well,
to that.
Okay, so to do
problem.
That, though, we, you know, we need to get the agreements.
Stansberry's name. Mr. Stamos. Mr. Stamos. He said, I don't want to pay Stamos for the record. I couldn't figure out why it was interpleaded in Illinois federal court. Federal court is considerably more expensive than state court, in my experience. There are some beneficiaries in Illinois, but that happens to be where the insurance company is. I felt that this should have been decided by Your Honor. What Your Honor suggested, if I were still involved, makes the most sense to me to bring it down here and let these very able lawyers argue it, and it really wouldn't cost that much. But federal court's expensive.
If that's the case, Your Honor, then Mr. Stansberry shouldn't be forced to bear that burden of bringing the money down here.
It sounds like that it would be a lot cheaper for him to just, if everyone agreed, as opposed to continuing to pay Mr. Stamos.
He has conferred a benefit on the estate. If you remember, Your Honor, there wasn't even a personal representative when Mr. Stansberry said, hey, we've got to get up there and assert our interest.
Well, that's why I would hold the money in escrow, depending upon, and I'd make decisions on who might be entitled to what portion of it. And I know Stansberry has a claim for reimbursement. I got that for it. Just trying to see if we can hold on to most of the money before we let, the final said is the situation that would excuse Stansberry from paying out of pocket to Stamos to let him go on a contingency fee. That means no one's paying out of pocket to represent the estate. That's the effect of that.
Right.
But if they prevail, which your motion says they will, Mr. Rose says no to that. But if they do, then, $700,000 of that comes off the top.
Sure. And that's still $1 million more that the estate will have.
But why not have $1.7 million as opposed to $1 million?
Well, Mr. Stansberry's position is he's done what he thinks he was required to do, which is to get everybody's attention that this $1.7 million are being ignored by the personal representative before Mr. Brown, which is Tesher Spallina. Now they're in.
And the grandchildren. And the grandchildren aren't represented at all in this. The parents are kind of blocking their representations.
What if Mr. Stansberry, and I'm not representing this to the court.
We have minors.
Posturing. What if Mr. Stansberry says, you know what, I'm done. I'm not willing to, I've done what I think needed to do.
Well, here's the thing. He's been handling it, let's assume well, up to the point where the case is in a position, based upon what you tell me, that now, using your words, is a reasonable expectation that the assets of the estate will be enhanced by this.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's an AKA to me that, it's likely the federal judge is going to distribute this money to the estate. But Mr. Rose says that's not the way the litigation is going. He says the plaintiff is prevailing in that litigation.
Well, everything he said about that litigation, oh.
Mr. Stamos believes in it enough where he's willing to take it out of contingency.
Is there anything you, I mean, what suggestions do you have to try to?
Your Honor, I, like Mr. Brown, like your suggestion, if we could get everyone on board with it, you know, that it does make the most economic sense, but fault, you know, defaulting that, if that isn't going to be acceptable.
Well, I may make that happen. Well, I can force that to happen. And there's things that I can do to make that happen. You know, I mean, I have a lot of things under my jurisdiction. If I find that someone's opposing something that sounds reasonable, I can deal with it. So let me think about this. All right, I'm going to hold off. I want you folks back next Thursday before the 8:45.
I'm out of town next Thursday, Your Honor.
All right, how about next Wednesday?
Yes, sir.
All right, next Wednesday. I want you all between now and then to think about it a little bit here. The rights of the parties who are fighting over it will still have their rights, but we can move the money down here. And then I can consider the combination of things such as letting Mr. Stansbury off, having Mr. Brown get off, Mr. O'Connell get in, all those things. Then we revisit that.
And Your Honor, one last point was...
I'm not done.
Oh, okay.
I just had a schedule problem, Your Honor. I'm actually out of the country next Wednesday.
So am I, but not with Mr. O'Connell.
Thank you.
I'm also out of the country.
Okay. Okay, so pick a date. I'm going to hold it when all of you people can come back in.
Sure, 8:45.
I'm not making a special set. Okay, final word, then I got to throw it out.
Mr. Brown, I don't think he needs to come back. I mean, to save his time and money, I don't think he has any reason to come back to the next hearing. If you're going to enter his order as soon as you figure out the rest of it.
Okay, that's true, but I mean, but he may have, okay, so if you think of something, tell us.
I'll confer. We've been conferring.
All right. Okay.
Matters.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Sir, there, Peter. Lie a minute. I can't keep track of how many lies that guy tells per second.
There's a Latin phrase. I didn't get into it. That
it's in the jurisdiction of the court. There, the court's already in the jurisdiction.
No, it's
beyond the order. It's called. I'll send you the. That money's never coming.
If you're gonna have a voluntary mediation down here, you need to let
it. Well, that was interesting.
Elliot, when I'm in court, you got to defer to me.
Okay.
I've been doing this 35 years. You're not helping our cause.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
All right? You've got to defer. You can't be a lawyer when I'm in the courtroom.
Okay.
You've got to let me handle it.
Okay. If that's, you never express that.
And
but I will
from here. I'm going to file a motion to disqualify Alan Rose.
Good.
Okay? And we're going to get that in front of him. Okay? And this is outrageous. But let me handle it.
Do you think he understood your last comment?
Well, since I told the judge I'd give you my 2 cents, Alan didn't think that legally you can actually bring the money down. But I would suggest that
you absolutely can.
I would suggest that you basically say that we have a global mediation / settlement conference, including you and Bill, and you have $1.7 million that's sitting there.
Right.
And you guys take into account your litigation risk, take into account the fact that if Stamos is going to keep it up there, he's going to get $510,000 if he settles it.
I got FBI reports on this fraud. I'm not settling quite yet.
At some point, you got to let bygones be bygones.
No, I don't. I put people in prison for this stuff. So just know I don't let bygones be bygones.
I don't think a civil settlement would preclude that. But I think that this type of case where you've got...
I don't want it down there.
You've got these other potential contingent money going somewhere else. It's ripe for... mediation or a settlement negotiation, but I think that he wasn't allowed to intervene personally in the federal action.
Right.
He needs to be a part of the mediation.
Right.
Bill needs to be a part of it because he's got that claim on.
Right.
And then you can also just go ahead and satisfy the claim at the same time, because he's got it. He has a substantial claim against the estate. So part of it could wrap it all up, and then you actually.
Well, that's what I was just talking to Rose about was.
now put on my mediator hat to try to pull that part of it together.
Well, the next motion I'm filing is to disqualify Mr. Rose. Okay, he's got an absolute conflict of interest. Express that can't be waived. He represents Mr. Bernstein as a plaintiff in that action, as a plaintiff in the Chicago action, adverse to the estate, and he's representing Mr. Bernstein as trustee who benefits from the estate's intervention in the Chicago action.
And you're doing all this settlement without a contract.
Contract?
There's no insurance policy.
Oh.
You've never seen one. Those were misstatements on that record.
His job is to marshal the assets for the trust, and yet he is plaintiff in the Chicago action, which takes money away from the trust.
Let's just cover up the crime and try to settle out.
Sick. Let me just ask a real simple question.
Sure.
If I stop funding Stamos, is knowing what the estate now knows.
Then I have to run back in here and say, beneficiaries want to get some sort of funding or arrangement, the contingency arrangement, whatever.
Insurance trust that they're wanting to establish.
That's what I would do. I mean, I tell you
right
now what I would do.
Right. Not the case.
Which I'd have to do.
There really needs to be a guardian ad litem.
But I'd like to see for the minor claims too.
Yep.
And I'm going to move. I'm going to file that motion too.
Yep.
So that they get represented.
Yep.
Whether I have standing to it or not.
I
think
everybody's trying.
I can file that.
It's Pam who filed it because she was disinherited.
Yeah.
It's her husband who's doing that.
Saying,
that's why they pulled it out.
He's talking about the plaintiff's counsel. It's the spouse of one of the plaintiffs.
Of one of the children.
Yeah, all of this
because
needs
she
to
didn't get here. That's why they took it to Chicago, because he's an attorney and he could do it.
That never happened. You get vindication through God in heaven,
there you
but
go.
Not on earth. Okay? You take what you can.
Well, what he said is very serious.
Final vindication
yeah.
will come.
Can you mediate cases also?
Through heaven. What?
You serve as a mediator?
No, but I should.
You can only take your good deeds with you.
I've had that. I mediate cases and I have to have that right. speech with people. Like, look, you know.
You want justice, you're
not
going
to walk out of here thrilled, but
that's the only place.
I'm not going to walk out without seeing the policy. And anybody who thinks they're going to settle, because I think there was a lot more millions of dollars attached to that policy that's being part of the fraud. Why is there no policy, Ben? Come on. And the lawsuit you have against the insurance carrier for that, for the failure to maintain records. Right. This will be the first case in the United States history of a lost insurance policy.
Both of you guys know a lot more about insurance than I do.
But every word out of Alan Rhodes' mouth was a lie. Bill Stansberry didn't file the litigation in Illinois to get his interest. That was done by Pam.
Anyway, I'm now completely out of the case, but I'll
God
still cooperate
you.
With Brian as much as he
needs. Never out of I view it.
Thank
you know,
ben.
Good luck to all
thank
you all.
Ben.
I hope someday
thank
this
you.
Comes to an end.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Me too.
Hey, Peter. Take it easy.
Before I do.
Brian,
I hope it ends before I
am. Okay.
Oh, you got 10 minutes.
He's running really fast. Larry Miller.
It's 9:15.
Larry Miller.
Okay.
Was right here. I've used him many times.
He's a fantastic good.
Larry Miller.
Larry Miller.
Bye. So let's set that up. Okay. I sense the time is...
And have your girl call my girl.
That's it.
Okay, are you filing anything to get rid of Ted? Because my family's suffering by the minute, and I thought...
I think we're intervening in that litigation that they filed to validate the will so we can raise the arguments that I made at that last hearing.
You
so
are.
In a long-winded way, yes.
Yes. Okay, how are you? Thank you.
Like going around
is
the
that, you on know, his docket? Is it on his schedule?
I don't think he's scheduled it yet.
Yeah, and this whole thing about attorney fees costing, you know, what they've committed here is a massive fraud. And
well,
they're going to be taxed for every dollar of
Stamos,
this.
Stamos, pick a name, you know, whoever it is, somebody needs to get, if they
well,
litigate
well, Stamos
win,
looked
paid.
At it, and from what I gathered, he
likes it.
Who wouldn't? You got fraud by the attorney filing the claim. You got insanity filing a lost trust, filing an action.
Yeah, two.
Come on, you're in history
know,
here.
Yes.
You may not know
yes.
some of the background, but... Ted Bernstein filed as a trustee of a trust that he's never seen.
Or possessed.
And that was the second claim that went to the insurance company. The first was filed.
For that company? The
no, the first claim company. Form was filed by Robert Spallina.
Who
attorney.
Filed an insurance claim.
He was the PR.
Yeah.
He was
oh,
the
no,
PR of the estate.
Right.
So Spallina, as PR of the estate, is filing a claim yes. to have the money paid outside of the estate.
And he filed as he filed as the trustee of
yeah,
the lost trust.
Uh-huh.
He's got a lot of problems, like paying all these damages.
Can't you, as PR, can sue him as past PR
right.
for the estate?
Well, we object. How we did that? Yes,
is in the
we
accounting.
Objected to the accounting, and of course that's just.
Do we have
started.
A hearing? Does that have to be
done.
Heard?
No, he's setting the hearing. He's got sent out some dates.
Who is the one to marshal the hearing on the trust construction and the motions to remove
the judge.
Ted?
He'll yeah, that's what. Well, that's remember the last time we went here. He said he was amending. He did his amendment, so he didn't name us, and now we're intervening in it. And then it'll be up to the judge to set.
Okay.
Which would be good because it would bring a lot of this
sure,
to the forefront.
If you get rid of Ted, all these problems, Illinois insurance, everything's gone.
Yeah, that's just completely to me. I don't even think that's close. So I'm going to do that motion in the next day or so.
Yeah. Oh, you're getting a little bit upset about all these conflicts and. Frauds and everything.
I warned you ahead of time.
Jeez, I've only been screaming house on fire for 2 years now. There's no way to settle the insurance, by the way. You don't have a policy. Nobody's ever seen the policy.
That's what we're talking about more now.
There's no policy.
At worst, I guess getting it here. The money, I mean.
Well, first of all, there's evidence that the policy could have been $3 million, $6 million. Nobody knows. The beneficiary on the policy is sample that they sent you, by the way. So. Be careful of what you're hearing over there. Where's your beautiful women today?
I know, they stepped me up.
I figured that's why you were late.
Ridiculous?
When I saw you coming alone.
I say you're a younger, smarter, prettier version of me.
There you are.
But I thought, oh, he's late because no pretty girls saying, come on, let's go,
yeah,
let's go.
Get out of here.
I'm sitting here coughing. Thank you very much, as always.
They usually bog me down. No,
they're great. Okay. Oops, sorry.
Careful. Thank you.
Wait, I think we want to wait. Here, Cam. For Bill. Okay. But we don't.